Today, Shir's in Masechet Avodah Zarah on Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amud, beginning with the last word on the line, Bamem and Nagvan. In the yesterday Shir, we learned the inyan of Nigav in a few places in the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. The first reference was by a Gash Shel Even, Shezov Sa'ovi Kachavim, Menagva V'hi Tahira. You have a stone wine press, and it is lined with tar by a goy, and they used to put wine into the tar because of the fumes, the bad odor that came from the tar. So if the goy put in the yayin nesach into this tar, and now the Jew wants to use that wine press, so the halacha, the way he kashers it, is through a process called nigav, which Rashi in the Mishnah told us involves water with afer, with ashes, with a detergent. So that's the first reference. Then a second reference to the process of nigav is by eitz. If you have a wine press made out of wood, vishal eitz, here we had a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe Yomer Yinagev. Rebbe says you have the same process of nigav, and the Chachamim disagreed, and they said that since the eitz, the zephas is put on in a larger extent, therefore there's more absorption of the yayin, and therefore yikloifas a zephas. They require that you have to remove the whole zephas and then do nigav. The Rishonim speak out that even according to the Chachamim, kiluf, removing the zephas, is not enough. You also require nigav. And finally, we had another reference in the question, what happens if a gus did not have zephas on it? There was no tar lining it as a sealant. But the goy was dorach. He pressed out the grapes. He stamped on the grapes and pressed out the grapes to make the juice, to make the wine. So what is the halacha there? And if you remember yesterday's shir, it was totally in the two lashonis that we had at the beginning of the Gemara. The first lashon was medayik, gashel evan shezofsoiv kachavim. But if there's no zephes, the first lashon learned, the halacha would be that all you need is hadacha. You just have to rinse it. You don't even need nigav. However, the second lashon said that the diuk runs differently. Gashel evan shezofsoiv kachavim without dorach. There was no pressing, stepping on the grapes to make the wine by the goy. It was only zephes. It was only wine in the zephas. So there, it's enough to do nigav. But what happens if you have zephas with dorach together? There, you will require kiluf. It's not sufficient nigav alone. You will require kiluf. According to the second lashon, the ikkad amri, what will be the din in a case where you have a gashel evan that did not have zephas? So there, they will hold that it has the same din of nigav. There is no difference whether it has zephas or it doesn't have zephas. It will require nigav. So it'll come out that in this shiloh, a kli evan that had no zephas, but there was dorach, it will come out, it'll be a machlokes between the two lashonis, whether it needs nigav or not. However, the brisa that we learned in the middle of the Amud, starting with Tana Rabbanan, in the middle of that brisa, it stated, vishel eitz, vishel evan, yinagev. And we pointed out in yesterday's shir that it's speaking about there's no zephas, because the next line in the brisa is ve'im hoyu mezufaf in asurin, then you need kiluf. So the first line of ishalayt v'shalav and yinagev is without zephas. And we learned also in yesterday's shir, because of astira, we said that the case of this brisa is speaking about dorach. So here we have dorach without zephas. And the brisa tells us, l'kuliyama, both according to Rebbe and the Rabbanan, the din is yinagev. So it would seem that the brisa is going like the ikkadi amri, how they learned the Mishnah. And according to the ikkadi amri shita is that when you have a gashel evan without zephas and you have dorach, it will have the same din as you have zephas, which will be niguv. It's important to speak this out at this point, because there'll be Nogeya in the sugya further on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We'll see a Rishash who changes one word in a Rashi and refers back to this Brisa. So this Shaila comes out to be a Machloikis, and we'll see more about it later in the Shir. Begins the Gemara. Bamem and Nagva. Now that we spoke about the inyan of Nigav, we really have to explain how does the process of Nigav work. Rav Abar Bamayim, you use water. Rav Abar Chanamar Be'efer, you use ashes. So the Gemara challenges both of these statements. Rav Amar Bemayim, Rav says you only need water. Bemayim v'loy be'efer, you don't need ashes. As Rashi explains, how could you call that nigav? All that is hadacha. You're rinsing it. You're not using any detergent. So that can't be. What does Rav mean that you're only using water? And the opposite is also difficult. Rav Baruchan Amar Be'efer challenges the Gemara. Be'efer v'loy b'mayim. You use only ashes without water, as Rabbeinu Yohanan explains. Efer without water will also, you have detergent, but you don't use water with it, it will also not give you a cleansing effect. So how does, both of these shittas are difficult. Ella, as we turn to Ayin Hei Amid Aleph, Rav Amar B'mayim V'hu Adin La'efer. Rav says B'mayim, but of course he means you also need ashes. Rav Baruchan Amar La'efer V'hu Adin L'mayim. You need ashes, but of course you need water also. So it seems there is some machlaikis. What's the machlaikis between Rav and Shmuel? Rav seems to say that the order is water and then ashes. And Rav Barachana says the order is ashes and then water. And the Gemara says, no, this is not correct. There's no machlaikis. Velopli. Ha beritivasa. If the wine press is moist, so then everyone is moide that you first have to dry it off. Like Rav Barachana said. Rav Barachana was speaking about a wet, moist wine press. So first you have to use the afer, which will cause it to dry off. Then you will use the water. Habi Yabesh. Here we're speaking about a dry wine press. So there, that's what Rav was speaking about. There you have to moisten it first. You have to apply the water first. Then you have to apply the ashes. So it comes out that both Rav and Rav Rechon agree you need ashes and water. Each one is speaking about a different case. One is wet. And wet, you need ashes first and then water. One is speaking about dry, and there you need water first and then ashes. But as we're going to see in the next Gemara, and the Ravid points this out, that what Rav and Rav Rechana were discussing here was the beginning of the process. But actually, there's a lengthier process, which we'll see in the next Gemara. And in the lengthier process, we will see that there is a machloikis, not between Rav and Rav Rechana, but rather between Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, Be Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri, the Beis HaMedrash, the Yeshiva of Rav, said in the name of their Rebbe Rav, Tarti Utlas, that there's two-step process and a three-step process. Now, in this Gemara, there are at least three shitas in the Rishonim, and it gets a little complicated, but we, for simplicity, we're going to learn only one shita, and that is the shita of Rashi. Rashi himself brings down two pshatim. If you look in the first wide line of Rashi towards the bottom of the Amid, where it starts, the lines start getting wide, says Rashi, Loshen Abba Moiri, Menuchosle Kavod. This pshat that I'm going to tell you now is from, what I told you just now is from my father. The Hu Nira Be'ena, I like my father's pshat, Vaharishan, the first pshat that I told you, Loshen Moiri Vakashali Begava. That was what I heard from my Rebbe, and I have difficulty. Rashi asked a number of questions on his Rebbe's pshat. So we're going to learn the pshat in the Gemara according to Rashi's father, which he likes better. Tosfos has even a third pshat. How does Rashi's father learn the sugya? So let's go through the words first, and we'll see it's not as difficult, at least this one pshat, as it would seem. But let's see what the words say. So Rav said, Tarti Tlas, that the process is sometimes two, sometimes three steps. Shmuel Omer, Shmuel says, Tlas Arba. It's, the process is sometimes three steps, sometimes four steps. That's Besura Masnahachi. That's how they explained the Machloikis in Surah. However, in the other great yeshiva of that time, Bepumpadisa Masna, they learned it differently. They learned, Be Rav Amri Mishmei de Rav Tlas Dalit. Instead of what we had in Surah 2-3, they learned it 3-4. And instead of what we had in Shmuel 3-4, Ushmuel Amr Dalit Hey, they had 4 and 5. So we have here, it comes out, we have some machlois, we don't yet know what machlois is. We have a machlois between Rav and Shmuel in the different steps. Shmuel requires more steps than Rav. Then we have a machloikis between, it would seem, between Surah and Pumpadisa in Rav and Shmuel. So let's start with the last machloikis, because the Gemara tells us there's really no machloikis between Surah and Pumpadisa. V'lei pligi. Sura and Pumbedisa are not arguing. Why? Mar kachoshev maya basroi. Because in Pumbedisa, they counted the last water in each process. Umar and Sura, that had less steps, like kachoshev maya basroi. They did not require the last, they did not mention the last water. So let's start with that last point and explain Surah and Pumbedisa, and then we'll go back to the actual Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. What the Gemara is speaking about is that at the end of whatever steps you're taking, two, three, four, you always have to end off with water. Because if you end off with ash, then you can't leave the keli, you can't use a keli that has detergent on it. So obviously you have to remove the detergent, you have to cleanse it. To get rid of the detergent. So the difference between Surah and Pumbedisa, everyone agrees in Surah and Pumbedisa you will need another step at the end to flush out the detergent. The question is, do I count that as part of the process or not? So in Surah, they said, that's really not necessary for the hechsher of the keli. You're not making the keli kosher with the last water. You're just a practical step to remove the detergent. So we're not going to, yes, you need it, practically, but we're not going to count that. So that's where our steps are always one less than in Pumbedisa. In Pumbedisa, they said, since, after all, this is part of the whole process, we are going to count that as well. So they always add on one last step, which includes water. Now let's get back to the actual Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So it comes out like this. We had in the previous Gemara, that the seder, how you begin this kashering process, depends. If you're speaking about dry, then you start with wet, you start with water. And if you're starting with a wet item, a wet wine press, then you have to dry it off, then you start with the ashes first. So that everyone agrees. Everyone also agrees that when the wine press is moist, that the starts off with ash, and you need two applications of ash. In the Gemara at the top of the Yomid Rav and Rav Bar Chana, we only had the start, ashes, water, or water, ashes. But really, it goes on, as we mentioned, the process continues. So everyone's moited that if the wine press is moist, it's not enough to start with ash to dry it, and then water, you need another application of ash. And then, of course, you need that final water to get rid of the detergent. So that, again, everyone agrees. The machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is in one point, and that is when the item is dry, the wine press is dry, and you're starting out, as we mentioned, with water, then you're going to apply the ash. Do you also require two applications of ash? Or in that case, when you're speaking with a dry wine press, is one application of ash enough? So now, based on this, let's go through the different shittas here. Let's start with Rav. So Rav says you only need by dry one application of ash. Therefore, according to Rav, by when the wine press is dry, you start with water, then you apply one time only ash, and then, of course, you need the final water to remove the ash. So it comes out, that's what Surah called two steps. Because they're not counting the final water. So that means it's water and ash. According to Rav, by moist, so you have to start off with a dry application, which is ash. But by moist, everyone agrees you need two applications of ash. So according to Rav, by moist, you'll start with ash, go to water, back to ash, a second application, and then, of course, you have to end off with water to get rid of the ash. What does Surah call that? Three-step. So now we understood what we started with. Be'Rav said, in the name of Rav, in Surah, they said Tarti Tlas. Tarti Tlas, according to Rav, means by dry, it's two steps, not counting the last water. By moist, it's three steps. Two applications of ash and not counting the last water. So I only have three. I have ash, water, ash. And Shmuel says 3-4. What does 3-4 mean? Three, he agrees with Rav as far as moist goes. That what? That is this a three-step process, which is ash, water, ash. Again, Surah doesn't count the last water in their calculation. So that's three. What is four? Four, according to Shmuel, is by dry, because Shmuel holds you need two applications of ash by dry, just like you need two applications by water. So that's why by dry, you start out, according to Shmuel, with water, And then you apply the first application of ash, then another water, then a second application of ash, and then finally the last water, which surah doesn't count, and pumpadisa counts. So that's why it comes out very good. Shmuel says, tlas dalid, you need 3 for moist and 4 for dry, and in pumpadisa, everything gets added on one more. According to Rav, in pumpadisa, by dry, it's 3, water, ash, water. By moist, it's 4, ash, water, ash, water. And according to Shmuel, it's 4, 5. 4 is the moist, the same as Rav, ash, water, and 5 is dry, which is water and 2 applications of ash, so therefore you need water, ash, and pumpadisa counts the last water, which removes the detergent, so you have a total in pumpadisa, according to Shmuel, of 5 by dry, so this is 4 by moist, 5 by dry. This is Rashi's father's pshat in the sugya. Continues the Gemara. Boy, me name Rabbi Vua. They had a question from Rabbi Vua. Hani Gurgi Darmoy. Now, Gurgi, Rashi says, has two pshatim. One is speaking by wine, and one is speaking by olives. By wine, it'll be a shail of Yayin Nesach, which is, it's a lattice work around the mound of grapes that is going to be crushed into the grape juice, is called a tapuach. The Lashon is a tapuach. And there is lattice work which surrounds the tapuach of grapes. And on top of the tapuach of grapes, you put a beam to press down on the grapes to make the wine. So that lattice work that's of a goy, that's surrounding, what is the halacha? How are you machshir it? If you're buying that and you want to use it for kosher wine, how are you being machshir it? Rashi brings a second shot that we're speaking about. An olive crush and pressing out the olives to make olive oil. And this was a box, this Gurgi Darmoy was a box in which the olive seeds and pulp were placed so that they could try to squeeze out from that even more olive oil. And here would be a question, not of Yayin Nesach, obviously we're speaking about olive oil. Here would be a question of Tahara. If it became Tameh, what would be the way to be Matar? So either we're speaking about a lattice work surrounding the crush of grapes, or we're speaking about this box which has in it the olive seed and pulp. My, what's the halacha? How are you matarit? How are you machshirit? Amar le Rabavua, said Rabavua in response, Tini Tua. We learned the answer from a brisa. Harei shehayu gitov ubeis badov tmein. If someone had his, now gas refers to the entire wine pressing operation, all the kalim that are involved, and we'll see soon specifically each keli how it's kashered. So if he had his gitov or base bot of his olive press, again, all the contraptions that are used in the olive press process, they became tame. He wanted to make them tohar. So how does he go about doing it? Says the brisa. Hadafen, those are the boards which you use to press down on the mound of grapes. Vo'adashin, the adashin is the gas, is the wine press itself. Vahalulavim, these are palm brooms that are used to sweep up grapes that scattered around. The halach is, all you require is madichon. You wash them and you remove any residue of wine there and they are tor, or they're, in the case of wine, it's no problem of Yayin Nesach. In the case of olives, there's no problem of Tumah. That's how you are Metarit. Now, there's an important Rashi here. Let's learn it inside. The Rashi Madichon, which is the fourth wide line at the bottom of the Amud, the widest lines on the Daf. Madichon, says Rashi, B'mayim. Va'al Mishnah, we haven't yet resolved the question which we're starting about Gurgi Darmoy. That's going to come in the next part of the Brisa. But Rashi is questioning, how do we bring this whole Brisa? This Brisa seems to have a flaw in it. We should dismiss this whole Brisa. How did Rabbi Vua bring this Brisa as a raya to any Shaila? There's a flaw. What's the flaw? Says Rashi, Va'al Mishnah zu yesh lismoich, She'ein tzarch efer legas. Mid a pashu b'nei rabavua. V'loy amrinen zu ein a mishnah. Diktani ba, the sagi legas. Bahatchak umasnisen diktani the boy nigav shmami no kamu bo rabbanim basroy upashtei hilchas akavasei. What's Rashi saying? Rashi's saying that lechayra this brisa is soiser the way we have the girsa. We're going to soon see Rishash changes the girsa. This brisa is soiser our Mishnah. We've had a whole sugi over here of nigav. All of a sudden, you tell me hadach is enough. So this is a big shayla in the Gaila Maisa. Bizman is there, where I would assume that most wine presses are not necessarily smeared with tar as a sealant. They have wine presses without tar. What hechsher do you need if you have a goyish wine press? So Rashi says, by the fact that Rabbi Avuah brings a brisa, which l'chayra has in it a flaw. What's the flaw? That the brisa is contradicting our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says you need nigav. Here we say hadashin, which is a gas, the wine press, it's enough madichon. So from here you see, says Rashi, must be that Rabbi Avuah came to the conclusion that we paskin like our brisa against the Mishnah, and all you need is hadacha, you don't need nigav. Otherwise, how does Rabbi Avuah bring a raya to his shaila of gurgi darmoy from a flawed brisa? So what's bothering me, what do you mean it's a flawed brisa? We learned in the Mishnah, Gash 11, Shezofsa Ivnikov. He put Zephas on it. Where does it say here to Zephas? Maybe here we're speaking about without Zephas. And we learned at the beginning of this year, I repeated it, that when there's no Zephas, then the first sheet and the first lashon of the Gemara holds, all you need is hadacha. So what's the problem? Why is this a steer to the Mishnah? So the Rishash changes it, and I think it was bothered by my question. The Rishash says, not masnis in our Mishnah, but masnita, which means the brisa. And which brisa, says the Rishash? That's the brisa which we have in the middle of the Amud, Tana Rabbanan. Because there, as we mentioned at the beginning of this year, it says beferish, Vishal Eitz, Vishal Evan, Yenagev. Vishal Eitz, Vishal Evan, Yenagev, and we learned there, it's speaking about without Zephas. How do you know without Zephas? Because the next word of the brisa is, Vimhoyu Muzufaf and Asurit. So it's without Zephas, and it's a case of Dorach, as the Gemara explained. So you have no Zephas with Dorach, and there, Lekuli Alma Rebbe in the Rabbanan hold Yenagev. Ah, so I have this brisa that says Hadacha, and I have that brisa that says Nigav. Another question, if you say it's the Mishnah, normally the Mishnah trumps a brisa. How does Rabbi Avuah say, oh, we paskin like the brisa against the Mishnah? Why? But if it's two brises, one against the other, so the Rabbi Avuah felt that we go with this brisa instead of that brisa. So why didn't he go from the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah is totally, as we said at the beginning of this year, in the two Lashonis. It's only Nigav if you go with the first Lashon. But if you go with the Ikidi Amri, then it's not Nigav, then you need, it's only Hadacha if you go with the first Lashon. But if you go with the Ikidi Amri, then you need Nigav. But it's not clear. The Mishnah doesn't tell us clearly. It's only from a Diyuk. So therefore, what Rashi's saying is, I can't bring the Mishnah, but what I could bring is an Ofen Abraisa that says clearly that the Halacha is Yenagev. So how do we paskin like this Braisa? So Rabbi Avuah, apparently that's what Rashi says. Komu bo rabbonim basroi upashtei hilchas ekavasei. The Halacha is like this Braisa, you're all even Hadacha. So this is Rashi is very Negea Halacha Lamaisa when you kasher a wine press, Bizmanazeh, where there is no tar on it as a sealant. Can you just do hadacha, or do you have to actually use detergent? So lemaisa, we don't paskin like this Rashi. Ayin in Shulchan Aruch, the very sheet is, but this Rashi is brought in the discussion of how to kasher kelim bizmanazeh if there's no tar on it. Continues the brisa, and now we get to the part of the brisa which Rabbi Avuah is using as a raya to the shal of gurgi darmoy va'akolin. The akolin, which are these lattice wickers, that lattice made out of wicker, which we spoke about as a surrounding for the grapes, how do you kasher them? So it depends. If it's shel tsarin, vishel batzbutz, if it's made of wicker or batzbutz, so the Masoras Hashas springs down from the Orach, that it means flax. Rashi says it's canvas. But either way, these are substances which are boleya more than the previous items. So they're already menagvon. It's not enough to wash them down. Here the brisa holds, here you do need nigav. What happens if you have a shalshifa, a shalgemi, which are types of rushes, like bull rushes? There they absorb even more than the previous substances. Then miyashin yud beis chayish, you have to let it stay for 12 months and not use it, and then only then are you allowed to use it. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel lomar manicha migas legas umibad lubad. You have to wait from one wine crush to the other, and as one season to the other, or from one olive press to a season to the other olive press season. Ask the Gemara, Haina Tanakama, that's the same thing, a year. So the Gemara says, no, ikabinaya, churfi v'afli. The difference is when the season starts earlier, churfi, or afli later. In other words, if it starts earlier, so if you hold you need 12 months exactly and it started earlier the next year, I don't have my 12 months. So then it's good according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not good according to Tanakama. Or if it's a later season of the wine crush, so then it's more than 12 months. According to Tanakama, it's good. Then it's sufficient if you didn't use it in 12 months. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not good because you have to wait from one season to the other. And even though you waited 12 months, you didn't wait till the next season. Rab Yossi Oimar writes to Latar Miyad. What happens if somebody doesn't want to wait 12 months? He wants to matar these items that are made from the bulrushes, which are very absorbent, and he wants to matar it right away. Magil Oimar Reitzchen, he can kasher them through using hot water. Oicholton, he scalds them b'mei zesim, as Rashi explains, when you want to get an olive to let out its oil, you put it into water, and that water, which softens up the olives, some of the olive oil comes out, and then you're going to use that water with the olive oil in it, and you're going to use that to scald these items, and that's how you will kasher them. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rav Yossi Oimer, Manichim Tachas Tzinor, he leaves them under a pipe, Shemem of Makalchim, that the water is flowing, Oy B'mayin, or a spring, Shemem of Reitvim, where the waters are running, V'kama, how long do you leave it there? Oina, a period of time. The Gemara later will explain how long this period of time is. Whatever the halacha here is by Yayin Nesach, so they said in Taurus. Ask the Gemara, Klapilaya, what direction are you going? How could you bring me a raya from Yayin Nesach to Taharis? But Taharis Kaminin. We're in the sugi of Taharis. You're trying to bring me a raya from an unknown thing of Yayin Nesach. So the Gemara says, really, it's the opposite. Ela Kederach Shamru B'Taharis Kach Amru B'Yayin Nesach. The same type of process that you use to be Metar, these Tomei Kalim, the same process will be used in kashering Yayin Nesach. Whatever you had to do above in the Brisa for Tahara, you'll use for Yayin Nesach for kashering as well. The Gemara goes back, Kama Oina, how long is this period of time that you have to wait with the water flowing from the pipe and or the spring flowing? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yechon, Oyoyim Oylaila, 12 hours, either a full day or a full night. Rav Chana Sheina, Va'amri lo Rav Chana bar Sheina, Amar Rav bar Chana, Amar Rav Yechonin, Chatsi Yoyim Chatsi Laila, half of the day and half of the night. So it sounds like it's a machloikis. Amar Rav Shmuel Ritzok, V'like Pligi, there's no machloikis. Habet kuvas nisim v'tishrei, habet kuvas tamas v'tevis. When we said oyoyim v'oylaila Rav Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he was speaking about in the season of Nisan or Tishrei where the days are equal to the nights. In other words, they're each 12 hours. So therefore, you could choose either the day or the night. Whereas the second shita, Rav Chana She'ena, who said chatsi yom chatsi laila, because he was speaking about in the season of Tamas and Tevis, there the day or the night are longer than each other, depending on what time of the year, and therefore you have to take a little bit of the night and the rest of the day, or you have to take a little of the day and the rest of the night. But the bottom line is you have to get to 12 hours. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, said Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Rafki Darmoy, these bags in which grape sediments were put inside of them and juice would drain out. Again, this is a shala, how do you kasher them? So, demazia, if they were made from human hair, madichan, all you have to do is wash them because human hair doesn't absorb. the arm of, it's made out of a lamb's wool, which absorbs more menagvan. Then you have to use the process with the water and the ashes that we learned at the beginning of the Amid. The kisnev, it's made of linen, which Rashi says, bali tfei me amra, they even absorb more than wool. So then miyashnam, then you have to let it for 12 months, as we learned before. Vi, kikatri, and if these things have knots in them, and then the wine can gather inside of the knot, then first, sharilu, you're going to have to untie the knot, and only then you'll use niguv, you'll use the detergent process. Hani dekuli vechalota, darmoi, these kinds of sieves that were used to strain wine, and they're made in different shapes. Rashi says, either they look like a basket, or they look like a beehive from a goy. Again, how do you kasher them? So the chit, if they were sewn, bechavle with ropes, the tsure made of palm fibers, so then the halach is madichan, all you have to do, they don't absorb so much, so all you have to do is wash it off. As we turn to the iron hammered base, the tzafsa, but if it's a gemi, like we had on Amud Aleph, those rushes, which absorb a lot, so lenagvon, then you will use the process of water and ashes. The kisna, if you have the flax, miyashnan, then you have to let it for 12 months. Vi isbu kitre, again, if it has not, sharlu, you untie it, and then you will let out the wine, and you'll do the nigav process. And now we come to a shayla concerning how tumah spreads. Itmar. Amoritz, a person's Amoritz, he's not a baki, and he's not careful in Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore we assume he's Tomei. Shehoshit Yodei Legas, he put his hand into a wine press. V'noga Beshkoilus, and he touched grapes, and there was wine and grapes in this wine press. And the question is, how much became Tomei because of what he touched? Rabbi Rabchia Machloikis Rabbi Rabchia. Chadomer one says, Eshkov Chosvi Voisov Tomei. And now the Amoritz is considered an Avatumah. He touched the grape. That's a Rishon L'Tumah. The grape touched another grape. That's a Sheni L'Tumah. Now we're talking about Chulin here. They were eating Chulin al Taras HaKadosh. But by Chulin, it doesn't go to a Shlishi. So all that becomes Tumah, that's the first Shita, is the Eshkol, that's the Rishon, and then the Eshkol that touched the Eshkol. V'chol Sviva Yisov Tumayin. But V'chol Agas, the rest of the wine press, which would be a Shlishi, that Kula Tahara, that's Tar. The Chadomer, one of these Amoroim say, Kol Hagas Kulinami Tomei, the whole Gas is Tomei. And the reason is because the wine, there's also wine here, so the wine will connect all the grapes in the whole wine press together, and when he touches the grape, and the grape, the first grape is a Rishon, is going to make the next grape a sheni, but it's also going to make the wine a sheni, and then that wine is machaber everything together, so it becomes all tummy. Ask the Gemara, ulamandi yomer eshkol v'chol sviv voice of tumeim v'chol agatz kula tahara. The first mandi yomer who held that only the first grape and the second grape become tummy because they become a rishon and a sheni, but not further. And the rest of the Gassas Torah, Maishno, how is it different modest time from that which we learned on the Mishnah? Sheretz, Shenim Tzibrachayim. When you found a sheretz in the mill. In other words, Rashi explains that in an olive press, before they put it into the olive press, first they grind up the olives. So it'll be easier for the olive press to squeeze out the oil. So if in that grinder you found a sheretz, Eina metame el makom magid. The only place that it's metame is where it touched. But v'imhoya mashkem b'halach. But if there was flowing oil that was coming already out of the olives, hakol tame. Then everything in that olive press becomes tame. So how could we hold over here by wine? How does this man d'yomer say that the whole gust does not become tame? The Gemara makes a very simple difference. Hosam loy mafsik loy midi. Over there is nothing that is holding back this oil from spreading all over, and therefore everything's tummy. But hacha mafsik hashkoilus. But here, by the grapes, after you have the first row of grapes, you have a second row of grapes, you have a third row of grapes. In other words, the grapes themselves are considered a barrier, and they will stop the spread of the tumah, and that's why it only goes up till the second row of grapes, which is a sheni. What's the halacha l'maisa in this machloikis? Oyrilei rabban Rabbi Yirmiya. The Rabbanan gave a psak halacha to Rav Yirmiya, v'amrilo, and some say, lebrei to Rav Yirmiya, to the son of Rav Yirmiya, kedivri oimer, like the Mandi Yomer who says, the one who's matahir, eshko v'chol sviv voisov tumeyan, The first row and the second row are Tameh, but V'chol Agas Kol HaTorah, the rest of the Agas is Torah. Now we begin a Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah in the Perek, and a very crucial sugya of two inyanim, which is Tfilas Kalim and Hechsher Kalim. And Hechsher Kalim is called Hagolas Kalim. That's the general term, which means the purging of Kalim from the Blios, from those absorptions of the Keli that went inside the walls of the Keli. So you can do it in two ways. Either you could do it through Libun, something that was used without water, just with fire. So the way to kasher it is with Libun, from the word love and white. It becomes glowing white. And the way that works, actually, is to burn out the Isser, to destroy the Isser, the taste of the Isser. Mashiankain, there's also a form of Hagola, hot water, something that was used, a pot that was used in hot water. So the way to kashrut, this we have a rule, Kiboloi Kachpoltoi, the way the Tom goes into the walls of the Keli, that's how the Tom is emitted outside of the Keli. So if it was used with hot water, you purge it with hot water. And then you have also, if it was something cold, then all you need is Hadocha. And we're also going to learn about Tfilas Kalim, the mitzvah. We'll see it's a machloikas, whether it's the rice or the rabbanon. But if you buy a keli from a goy, so then you have to be tovelet in a mikveh. Now this is all based on a pasuk in Bamidbar, where Elazar HaKoyen instructed the soldiers who were coming back after Melchemes Midyan, and he told them, he said the following, Zois Chukas HaTorah Shetziva Hashem Es Moshe, the following items which you took from the spoils of war, Kalim from the Midyanim, these are what you're going to have to make Hechsher Kalim, Hagolas Kalim. Ach, es hazov, es hakesev, es hanechoshes, the gold, silver, copper, es habarzel, the iron, es abdil, the tin, ves haferes, the lead, kol dover sheyovi be'esh, tavir be'esh. Whatever was used with fire, how are you machsher it? With fire. Vitoher, and we're going to see in the Gemara, now we put in an extra word, which achar wasn't necessary, vitoher. Then the pasuk says, ach b'mei nida yischato. You have to use the water of mei nida. Now the pashtus of this is that it's referring to kalim that became tamei mace, and you need the ashes of the por aduma. You need the third day and the seventh day. You need the process of being matarit through what's called mei nida, not referring to a woman who is a nida, but rather this refers to moving water. We have a pasuk in Eicha that says that they threw stones at me. And the pasuk says, v'yadu even bi. They threw stones. So the word nida doesn't necessarily refer to a woman who's a nida, but rather to throwing. What does that mean? When you're mazeh, when you sprinkle from the afer of the por aduma. So that's what the pashtus of the pasuk is speaking about. However, Chazal are going to learn out from this part of the pasuk that not only do you have to matar kalim that became tameh, but you have to be toivel kalim that came from a goy, even if they're tohar kalim. The fact that it was owned by a goy, as we're going to see, the Lashna Yerushalmi is that something that comes out from a goy, it's yotzu mituma so'akim, v'nichnasin l'kedushas Yisrael. When you purchase kalim from a goy, it goes out of the tumah of a goy, not a tumas mace, but just being owned by a goy is considered a tumah, and when it comes to a Jew, it's kedushas Yisrael. How do you accomplish that? Through tefillah, which we're going to learn out, we'll soon see in the Gemara, from this pasuk. Begins the Mishnah. Halakeach kli tashmish min ha'adikam. If somebody purchases kalim that you use for food, from a goy, we'll see in the Gemara that if it's not used for food, a scissors that's not used in any way for food, you don't have to be toivel if you buy it from a goy, but kalim that were used for tashmish of eating that from a goy. So now the halacha is like this. Eshed dar koy lahatbil yatbil. So Rashi learns, if it was used with cold, and there's no question of kashering it, so then all you need to do is put it into a mikveh. Other Rishonim say that lahatbul yatbul does not mean tfilas kalim, but the Mishnah is referring to hadocha, The word lahatpil yatpil means, wait a second, you have to do something else to the keli. You have to wash off in case there's any shamnunis of chazer on the keli. You have to rinse that out, that it's not there anymore. Even if it was used in cold, and you don't have to kasher it. So it's a shaila here how to learn these words, lahatpil yatpil, lahagil, yagil. If it requires hot water, because it was used with hot water, then you have to make a gol. Lilabain. If it was used only with fire, bo'or, lilabim bo'or, then yilabim bo'or. The way that it became treif, that's the way that you have to kasher it. And now the Mishnah gives examples. Hashbud, a spit, va'askelo, and a grill, milabnon, he burns them out glowing white in fire. Hasakin, shafa v'hitahira. The sakin, the Gemara is going to speak more about this, but if he's using it for, let's say, cold, so he doesn't have to kasher it, but he has to scrape it off with a blacksmith's grindstone, or it could mean that he has to wipe it, he has to buff it with a rough cloth to remove any shamnunis that might be on it, and then he could use it for something cold. Says the Gemara, Tana v'kulam tzrichim tefila. We learned in a Braisa that all of the items in our Mishnah, Hagolah, Libun, they all require another step, which is tefila. And how much? In Arbor Amsa, the same like a Nida who has to be Toivel in Arbor Amsa. Minonimili, where do we know this from? Where in the Torah do you know this? Amr Rava, Damer Kra, Kol Dover Shayavi Be'esh Tavir Be'esh. Vitoher, as we mentioned, Hoisiv Locha Kosov Tahara Keres. The Torah is telling you, besides putting it in fire and kashering it, you need an extra Tahara. From that word vitar, we learn that when you're buying something from a goy, you have to make a tahara through a mikveh, which has nothing to do with hechsher kalim. This is tevilas kalim. Tani bar kapara, mitoichshin nemer. He learns it from a different limit in the same pasuk. The pasuk says that you ach b'mein nida yischato, it becomes purified in the main nida, as we explained from the pasuk in Eicha v'yadu evan b, that this means moving water. Shemeya nishet tzorach hazor shlish v'shvi. So I understand that this pasuk is telling me that just like a nida has to go to the mikveh and a person who's tamei has to go to a mikveh, plus he needs hazah on the third and the seventh day of a tumas mace, he requires the sprinkling of the afer para. So this limud, which I'm learning from this pasuk, which has nothing to do with tumah, which has to do with tvilas kalim that is bought from a goy, maybe you should also need sprinkling the third and seventh day. Talmud loimer ach. The pasuk says, ach b'mei nida yischata. And we know an ach is always a miyut, chaleit. We don't give you all across the board, all the dinim of tahara and a mikveh of tumas meis. The only thing that you have of tumas meis is to go to a mikveh. You don't have the din of hazor shlishi v'shvi. Im came atam alay b'mein nida. So why does the Torah use the lashon of mein nida? So that is now a reference to a woman who's a nida. Mayim shenida tovelespen. It's the same water that a nida is tovel in. Have yaimer arbomsa, that it has to be in arbomsa when you do tfilas kalim, which you bought from a goy, you have to use the same amount of water that a nida used, which is arbomsa. Now the Gemara wants to know, we have two lemudim from the same pasuk, one from the word v'taher, and one from ach b'mei nida yischata. Why do you need both? It's trich l'michta v'taher, v'itzrich l'michta b'mei nida. Ikos v'taher hava mina v'tar, the Bach puts in now the letter b'choldu. I would think you don't need a full mikvah 40 saw, even a small mikvah less than 40 saw would be good. You become tor either way. Kasa rechmanu b'mei nida. The Torah says no, you need b'mei nida 40 saw. V'ikasa rechmanu b'mei nida. If it would only have said nida havamina, I would think, if you're saying you're already comparing it to a nida, so harav shamish kanida, then just like a nida, even though a nida goes to the mikveh at night, but there is a halach of harav shamish that she has to wait for truma and kachim, till the next Harav Shemesh, the next day. So I would think that when you're Tovel Kalim, which you could do during the day, but you have to wait till they become Torah, till Harav Shemesh, till the sun goes down. It'll be compared to Nida in this way also. Kasa Rachman, that's why the Torah says V'teher La'alter. That's why I have the limit of V'teher. No, this halacha, I need the halacha 40 saw, but this halacha of Harav Shemesh to learn from Nida, I don't learn, and rather it's V'teher La'alter. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Afilu Kalim Chadoshim B'mashma. When you need Tfilas Kalim, even new Kalim have to be, that are bought from Magoy. Not only Kalim that he used. Why? I'll bring you a proof. Do Yeshenim Libnum, if they were old, and he kashered them, Kechadoshim Dama. Once you do kashering on a Kali, it becomes like a brand new Kali. Vafilu Hachiboy Tfila. And an old Kali that had Isser in it, and you purged it, you used Libra on it, you destroyed the Isser in it, yet you need Tefillah. So that's a proof that Chadoshim, even brand new ones, require Tefillah. Maskevlo Rav Sheishas, Yehoki, if so. Till now, we thought that perhaps Tefillah's Kalim has to do with Hechsher Kalim. If it was old and used, and it was Usser, it had Isser in it, I need Hechsher Kalim and Tefillah's Kalim. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. But now that you're telling me that has nothing to do, Tefillah's Kalim has nothing to do with Hechsher Kalim, so I feel a Zuzu the Sar below. So even scissors that are used to cut woolen garments, if I bought it from a Goy, Nami, you should also require Tefillah's Kalim. Why do you tell me the Mishnah that Kli Tashmish, only if they're used for food, even non-food Kalim that you buy from a Goy? Or Malay, so he answered him, no, where do I learn this whole din of Tefillah's Kalim from? Klei Midjan, Klei Suda Amurin Beparsha. In the Parsha, we only learned about Klei Suda and not about regular Kalim. Where does it say in the Parsha Klei Suda? It says gold, silver. Where does it say Klei Suda? So Rashi says that since it says over there that whatever was used with fire, you should burn with fire. So which Kalim are used with a fire? That's a pot, a pan, things that are used with a fire. So that's a right, it's klisuda. The pre-chadosh in Yeradeh Simon Kuf Chav Sif Aleph asks on Rashi, there are many kalim, like a blacksmith's kalim, that are used with fire as well. There are many kalim in industry that are used with fire as well. So what's the Rai of Rashi? He brings a Rajba that says different. The Rajba says that since we see that the Torah linked together Tvilas kalim with Hechsher kalim, so why do you need Hechsher Kalim? Because you have to be poilet the Isser, the Tam Isser, that's within the Doifnei Akli. So that applies to food items, which was Boileya, the Chazer. The Kli Malacha, regular items of industry that are not used with food, would have no purpose to be Hechsher Kalim. So since I have Hechsher Kalim, that's a Raya that we're speaking about Kli Suda. So therefore, the only Kalim which require Tvila are Kli Suda. Amr Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman brings down Amr Rav Ravu, in the name of Rav Ravu, Aloishan Abel Kuchen. When do you require Tefillah's Kalim? Only if you bought it from the Goy. Ukamaisa Shahoyu. And like that story of Kli Midjan, where the whole din of Tefillah's Kalim is learned from. Avul Shu'ulin Loi. But if you didn't get it to keep it forever, you just borrowed it. So then the halacha is that it does not require Tefillah's Kalim. Toisus Divrei Maaseh Rav Shmuel Loi says from Rabbeinu Shmuel that a Yisrael who borrowed a Kali from a Yisrael, and that Yisrael had just purchased it from a Goy. So does he, maybe even the first Jew didn't even use it yet. He bought it, and right away he did a chesed, and he lent it to somebody else. Does that borrower, does he have to be Tovel Kalim? Says Toisus, yes. Because even though the first use of it is for borrowing purposes, but once the first Jew bought it from the Goy, it already became mechuyev in Tefillah's Kalim. Memele, even before the second Jew can borrow it, he has to be tovel it. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef, Zovan mona demar dom yavikov. He bought a keli, which Rashi explains that mona demar is a keli that's made from earth and from the dung of animals, from a goy. Sovelat bila, he thought he's mechuyev in tefillah. Amar le'ahuma rabbanan. So one of the rabbanan of Rabbi Yaakov Shmain, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, said, l'didim efarsh leminei Rabbi Yochanan. I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that kli matachos amurin beparsha. Many people call this kli matches. I think the correct diktuk is kli matochos. So a metal keli is written in the parsha. If the parsha that we mentioned it from Bamidbor used the words of ach es hazov es hakesev and the chayshus abarzus abdilvus oiferes, all of these are metals. What your keli that you just bought is not metal, and if it's not metal, it is not chayiv in tfilas kelim. Omer Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, Hani Kli Schuchis, these kelim that are made of glass, Hoyol V'chi Nishtabru, Yeshlem Takona, Kikli Matres Dami. These kelim that are made out of glass, but when they break, you can fix them. How can you fix them? Because you can melt them and reshape them again. So they're just like a Kli Matochot, which has a crack in it, so a metal keli, you're able to solder it, you're able to fix it up, that it should be the same like before. So therefore, I say a kli schuchas has a halacha of a kli matochis, and therefore it will be chayiv in tefillah. Now, the Taz brings down that the Rav Rishonim hold that tefillas kelim is min ha-toyra. And actually, this has to do with a Tosfos earlier on the Amud, Tosfos Divrei HaMashkel, Mayim Shanita Tevelas, which we said we learned that you need Arboim Saw, the third Tosfos on the Amud. So Tosfos says, Afagav de Revi is Sagi Lahatpol Machtim Etzinoiris, small needles you can be Tevel in a Revius of water, Midaraisa. Why do you need over here 40 Saw by Tfilas Kalim? So Hainu Tfilas Tumah. That's tefillas tuma. Aval tefillas kli midjan. Chiddush uboy memsa. That's a chiddush you need memsa. So from Tosfos it's mashma that the halacha of tefillas kelim is a din daraisa. It's your mechuyev min haTorah. Tosfos says chiddushu. Chiddush midaraisa. The Gemara asked the kasha at the beginning, mina hanimili. How do we know midaraisa? And then we brought psukim. So Rav Rishonim learned that the chiyev of tefillas kelim is a din daraisa. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Machos Asuras, Perek Zayin Halacha Hey, uses a number of lashonis that would indicate that it's midrabbanan, and so learns the Ritva and the Rambam. The Rambam says it's midivrei soifim. He says remez. All these psukim that we had here are a smachta. It's a remez or amru chacham, because the main pasuk we know is speaking about main nida yischata refers to tuma of tumas meis. So it's only a remez that it also refers to the tumah of buying a keli from a goy. So that's why the Ritva learns according to the Rambam, it's only min rabbanan. However, the Rashba says, the Shas Chus Rashba says that the Rambam also held it's the Raisa. And the Shagas Aryeh says that the Rambam in many places, when he brings a limud that the rabbanan learned in a pasuk, that's not the simple pshat of the pasuk. He says this lashon amru chachamim, but that doesn't indicate that it's a mitzvah only midrabbanan. It's a mitzvah deraisa, but I only know the mitzvah deraisa because it was the rabbanan who darshan the pasuk. So the Rashba says that the Rambam also holds it is the deraisa. And the Bach and the Kesef Mishnah want to learn because the Rambam uses a lashon of mipia shmuel lamdu. That's a lashon of halach lamaish mesinai. And finally, the Yeshuas Yaakov says an interesting idea that Einachanami, the Rambam, holds that the chi of Tfilas Kalim is Midaraisa. But when the Rambam spoke about the Rabbanan, he meant the Isser to use a Kali when you were not Tevel it, the negative side, that's an Isser the Rabbanan. And Einachanami, the halacha is, if somebody cooked something in a pot that was bought from a goy and he had not been Tevel it, the food is still mutter. Because the Isser to use a keli that was not getoivled, even though you should have toivled it, but that's only Isser Rabbanan. So, but the Yevit, if you did it, it doesn't usher the food. So the Taz says that Rav Rishonim learned that Tefillas Kelim is min haTorah. So the Mashal, a Katan, would not be believed to say, I toivled these Kelim. If a Yisrael saw him do it, he was standing there, the Ramah says, Yediya, you know the Katan did it. A Katan can be toivled just like a Gadol. But as far as Neman is to believe the Katan, since most Rishonim hold it to Din Daraisa, therefore a Katan is not believed. But Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yoredeya, Simon Kof, Chof, says that by Kli's Dechuchis, when the Gemara here just said that Kli's Dechuchis is the same as Kli Matochis, as metal kalim, that's only midrabbanan. And therefore, by a din de rabbanan, a katan, when it's biyada, he's able to do it, we say he's Nemon, and therefore he would be Nemon. Most agree with Rabbi Akiva Eger. However, there is a Maimer Mordechai in Aruch Chaim, Simon Shin Chaf Gimel, who says that even Kli's Chuchis is a halacha midiraisa. Continues the Gemara, Kunya, Pligibar of Acha Ravina, Chadamar Kitri, Losev, Chadamar Kisaifer. Rashi explains that Kunya is a earthenware Kli Cheris that was lined, that had a lining of lead. So the first Mandi Yomar says that we look at it the way it was created at the beginning, Kli Cheris. Memel, it's not Chayiv in a mikveh. It's not a metal. It's not Chav Tulis Kalim. The other one says Kesoifoi. You look at the lining, and the lining is metal. And therefore, lead is metal, as the Pasuk says, Oiferis. That's one of the items that in the Kli Midyan. Lead. So therefore, Kesoifoi, it is Chayiv. Tosis points out, that the Gemara says, Vehilchas a Kesoifoi. Allah is Kesoifoi, that we go with the lining, and if it's metal, it's Chayiv. Says Tosis, that's only if the lining, Divri Amaskal, Vehilchas a Kesoifoi, that's only if the lining is from the inside. But if the lining is from the outside, then you're not Chayiv. Because the whole idea is it has to be a Kli Achila. So that's when it comes in contact with the food from the inside. But if it's from the outside, you're not Mechuyiv. The Le'inyan to make a Bracha in this kind of case, so a Kli Cheres that has a covering from the inside and the outside, there the Allah is Chayiv and Tefillah with a Bracha, but that's only if the metal is for the purpose of eating. If you wouldn't have the metal, let's say you have soup, the liquid would go through the Kli Cheres. So you need the lining for food purposes. But let's say you have this metal lining just for decoration, for beauty. That's the whole purpose. So then, in the Chanami, it's a Suffolk Bracha, and the Chayra one should be Toivel without a Bracha, or be Toivel it only when he's being Toivel Kalim, which are Chayv and a Bracha, then he includes this as well. Now, the Aruch and Tosis in other places says that this Kali Kunya is not covered with lead, like Rashi says, but it's covered with glass. So some say, okay, we just learned that glass is like metal. So Hilchas Kesoifoi, it has a lock like the end, like the cover, the lining, so glass would be like metal. However, others say that since glass, there are opinions that say, Rebbe Akiva Eger, we learned before, that it's only midrabbanan. There are others who say that lining that's chayiv is also midrabbanan. So now you have two derabbanans together. So therefore, it's better not to make a bracha on a glass lining because you're dealing with two derabbanans together. Continues the Gemara. Iboilu, another inyan concerning tefillas kalim. Mashkanta mai. What happens if a goy borrowed money and he gave his collateral a keli? And the Jew now is using this keli. What is the halacha? Does he have to be tarvel the keli or not? Amar Marba Ravashi, Abba, my father Ravashi, Mashkali Avikov and Kisa the Kaspa, a goy gave him a silver kos as a collateral. What did he do when he wanted to use it? Va'at Bulay, he was tarvel it. And Va'ishti Ban, he drank from it. V'loyadana, I don't know why he was tarvel it. Maybe he holds that when he receives a collateral for a loan, that's considered legabitis halacha as it was bought from the goy. If it's bought, then you have to be toivel. But maybe no. Maybe really it's not considered like it was bought. As Rashi explains, loy liftoisei, that he knew shaloy liftoisei, that he wasn't planning to redeem it. He took a loan. He gave the silver coin. It's yours. I'm out of here. I'm not returning. He figured out that the goy wasn't planning. Normally, if you take a mashkin, which you're going to give back the mashkin, you're not mechuyif to be toivel. But if it's a mashkin where you know the goy took the money and ran away, and you're not going to get the money back, so then it comes out that you actually bought it. So Tosis divrei maskel imishum the kesaver mashkin kizvine gives a number of halacha lemaisa in yanim and says since this shaila was not concluded, so you're toivel a mashkin without a bracha. And that's why Tosis gives the eitzah. If you have other kalim which were mechuyev vadai, you should be toivel the mashkin with the other kalim, and you make a bracha on the other kalim, and then you're yoitzah on the mashkin. Then Taisa says, what happens if you gave a keli to an uman, to a craftsman, a goy, to fix it? So, and we had some sheet that sold that uman koina b'shrach keli, that the goyish craftsman has a kinyan because he enhances the keli. He has a kinyan in the keli. So maybe you're mechuyev now in tefillah, says Taisa. No, you're not mechuyev in tefillah. Why? Because the criterion of tefillah's kelim is whose keli, who has the name of this keli. When you give it to the craftsman, it's still the Jewish keli. It's not considered. We learn it out from Kli Midyan. And Kli Midyan means that it's known as the kelim of Midyan. So if the goy's name is not on it, you're not mechuyev to make tefillah's kelim. Now, what happens if, this shal is very negei lemaisa, what comes once a year for everybody, what happens if you sold a keli to a goy, and then you bought it back from the goy? So Taisa says that you're mechuyev in tefillah's kelim, because it's called after the name of the goy. So the shal is, on Pesach, when we sell our chametz, If you sell the keli to the goy and you take it back, so then l'chayra you would be mechuyev in tefillas kelim. That's why in every shtar mechira they write, I'm not selling the goy the keli, I'm selling the goy the chametz on the keli, inside the blue in the keli, but not the keli itself. There was a maisa with the chazoin ish, that the chazoin ish, there was an accident that happened. The shtar, that mechira that was used, said in it that we're selling the kelim. And based on that, the Chazon Ish instructed that all the kelim that were sold to the goy had to be had to have tefillas kelim, because it wasn't written, the chametz in the keli was written the kelim themselves. Actually, it's the Gro and the Chayyadim, the Chassam Sofer, hold that in this case, when you sell the kelim to a goy by Pesach, it is chayv and tefillah when you receive it back after Pesach. But however, the Eish Lavram, Rav Shlomo Kluger, they argue, and they say that in this case, you're not mechuyev. But the Oilam is, we are machmir, that achiyev tefillah is mechuyev, and therefore a person should be careful to use in ishtar the words that we're only selling the chametz on the keli itself. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Halaykeach, Kli Tashrish Ben Oivet Kechavim. If someone took kelim from a goy, so it depends. Dvorim shloin ishtamish ben, if it was never used, it's new, matbilon vehein tahirin. So then he's toivel them, and that's all he has to do. They become tor. He doesn't have to do any hechsher kelim. Dvorim shloin ishtamish ben ayudei tzoinen, if they were used, but they were used only for cold things, kegoin koises, cups, v'kotonius, and jugs, v'tzeluchius, and flasks, Madichon, he washes them out, makes sure there's no isser there. Umadbilon, and then he does, brings them to the mikveh for tefillas kelim. Vehem tarim, and they are tar. Dvorim shen ishtamish ben ayidei chamin, if it was used with hot water, kegoin hayoyros, the pots, hakum kumusin, the kettles, umechame chamin, or urns, magilon, he does hagolas kelim. He does hagola umad bilon, and then he does tefillah v'hein tarim they are tar. Dvorim shen ishtamish behena yedei oir. If only fire was used, kigoin ashput and spitz va'achsolois and grills melabnon, he purges them by burning them out until he uses fire until it glows white umad bilon, and then he's toivel them v'hein tarim and they are tar. Now Tosfos points out here, in the Divrei HaMaskil, the second bottom, Tosfos Magilu Madbilon Vein Taharin, we find that the order throughout this Gemara is that first you do a Hechsher Kelim, and then you do Tefillah. Is that what you're mechuyev to do? What happens if you did Tefillah first and then Hechsher Kelim? Does it help or not? So Tosfos says the order of our Gemara is Lav Dafka Magil V'Achen Yatbil Ela Filah Matbil Bereisha Dehach Tefillah Eina B'Shvil Tuma Delahavi K'Toivel B'Sharetz B'Yaday. It's nothing to do with Tuma, that I could consider it, that you're toivel, but you have sheretz, you have a sheretz there, because it's iser. This has nothing to do with iser nati. This is a halacha of the Torah, midrash and rabban, halacha moish v'sina, as we mentioned before. The halacha is, when you come and take from a goy, you have to be toivel. It doesn't matter when you do the tefillah. That's Tosfos sheet, and the Rosh passes like Tosfos as well. However, the Rajba and the Smag, And the Ran bases it on Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi that we mentioned before, whose lashon is that whenever you do Tfilas Kelim, Yatsu Mitumas Akim, V'nichnasu L'Kedushas Yisrael, so the Ran learns that these Rishonim say that it is like Tovel B'Sheretz B'Yadi. In other words, it can't come into the Kedushas Yisrael until all vestiges of Tumah of the Goy are removed. The Tumah of the of Chazir, of Isser, the Tumah that a Goy has by owning a Keli, even if there's no Isser in the Keli, all the Tumas that are associated with the Goy's use of the Keli have to be removed, and then you can come into the Kedushas Yisrael. So it is specifically in this order. And the Rivet says that in fact the Lashon, the Seder of the Pasuk is that way. First, Taviru Be'esh, and then V'toher, and then Bimei Nida Yischata, from where we learned out earlier in the Amid, that you have to do Tfilas Kalim. But we see first came Hashem Kalim, and then Tfilas Kalim, and so is the order of our Gemara. However, the Rivet says, B'dieved, if you didn't do it in the right order, you don't have to do it over again. So it comes out, we have here three Shitas. Tosfos says it doesn't matter what order you do it in. The Rashba and the Smag, there and in the name of the Rashbam and the Ran in the B'Shem Yerushalmi, they hold that the Seder's Ma'akiv. And if you did it, Tfilas Kelim first and then Hechsher Kelim, you have to do it over again with a bracha. And the Rivet Shita is, L'chatchila Avada, you should do Hechsher Kelim and then Tfilas Kelim. But Yeved, you don't have to do it again. The Shach Paskins Alocha L'maisa, you should do it again, however you should do it, without a bracha. Continues the Gemara, V'kulun shenishtamish behen ad shlo yat, l'shlo yag, l'shlo yilabin. What happens if somebody used it, and he didn't do all these things that he has to do? He wasn't toivel it, he didn't do agolas kelim, he didn't do libin kelim. So what happens with the food that was eaten in it? It was cooked in this pot. Tani chada usser, one learns that that's usser, v'tani yedach mutter, the other one says it's mutter. Loi kasha, it's not difficult to understand this machloikis, because ha kaman di omer, nois and tam of gam asr, ha kaman di omer, nois and tam of gam mutter. We had earlier the mesach the machloikis, where the nois and tam of gam is mutter or asr. So according to the man di omer, that a off taste is mutter. So by waiting in the doifnei akli, the tam had an off taste. So therefore, if you cooked in it, it is mutter. The other man di omer holds it's asr. And that's why it's going like the man di omer, nois and tam of gam is asr. Ask the Gemara, before we go to the next Gemara, just do the bottom Taisus, Nagayim Pshat here in the Sugya. The Taisus says that that which it's mentioned, that all that were Kulun Shen Shtam Shubat, Ad Shelo Yatpil V'Shelo Yagil V'Shelo Yilabing, is that is all according to the Mandi Yomer that Nois Tam V'Gam is Mutter. So if it's Mutter, it's Mutter, whether you didn't do Hagolas Kalim, you didn't do Liban, you didn't do Tfilas Kalim, doesn't matter. It's mutter. Because Tfilas Kelim is not ma'akiv, and if you hold Nois Tam V'Gam is mutter, it's also not ma'akiv. However, in the other, the oyser part, so then this is not correct. It's not kulin shen ishtamish b'rem ad shlo yatbo shlo yagu shlo yabin oser. Because the only thing that's oser is shlo yagu shlo yabin. If you didn't do Hechsher Kelim, then it will oser it, if you hold Nois Tam V'Gam oser. But let's say you did Hechsher Kelim, but you didn't do Tfilas Kelim. We learned before that the food does not become oser. So it's not, in the Isser part, it doesn't go on Shlo Yatpil. In the Heter part, it goes on everything, Lo Yatpil, Lo Yalabin, Lo Yagil. But in the Isser part, it only goes on the Hechsher Kelim part. It doesn't go on Shlo Yatpil, that it's Osir, because Shlo Yatpil is Mutter. Then Tai says, maybe, even though it's Mutter, the Chachamim made Xera, Shlo Yatpil ought to, because of Shlo Yagil, that since Shlo Yagil, it would Osir it, if you hold Nois Tam V'Gam Osir. Therefore, we would usher the food, even b'dieved, if you didn't do Tfilas Kelim. Tosfos suggests maybe there is such a gzeira. Continues the Gemara, Lamandi Omar, Nois Tam V'Gam Mutter, Ge'uli Oiv G'chovim to usher Rechman Eichem Shkatzel. If you hold Nois Tam V'Gam is Mutter, so then what do you have to kasher Kelim for? Nois Tam V'Gam is always Mutter. Om Rav Chia, Reid Rav Huna, Le'osher Toirel, Kedera, Dafayin Vovim Adalf, Bas Yoyma, the lav nois tam v'gam. When am I saying nois tam v'gam mutter? That's only if it's more than 24 hours. But if it's less than 24 hours, it's not a bas yoyma, it's not a nois tam v'gam. Then even that man the yom is mitzvah that you need hechsher kelim. Mikan ve'elach l'shishu. The Gemara asks, If you hold that nice and tam levgam after 24 hours is mutter, then it should be mutter lechatchila. What do you have to kasher it if it's einoy ben yoimoy? The Gemara answers that even though midaraisa it's mutter, nice and tam levgam is mutter, bagzeira kedera sheina bas yom, mishum kedera bas yom. If you hold nice and tam levgam osir, then midaraisa you have to kasher kalem after 24 hours. But if you hold nice and tam levgam is mutter, then it's only exerim. It's a rabbanon. If I let him use a keli that's an ene ben yoyme, he might come to a treif keli that's a ben yoyme, and therefore, mit a rabbanon, they ask the ene ben yoyme, otu ben yoyme. Ask the Gemara v'idach, why doesn't he make a distinction between ben yoyme and ene ben yoyme? Because keder bas yoyme nami mifkam pagma. He holds that even less than 24 hours is a pagam, and yet the Torah asked it. So the Torah doesn't make any distinction. 24 hours, less than 24 hours, more than 24 hours, it's always nice time of gum, and it's always also according to this Mandi Omer. Masha Enkin, according to the Mandi Omer, nice time of gum is mutter, more than 24 hours is mutter, less than 24 hours is not nice time of gum, it'll be nice time of shvach, and therefore it'll be also, and therefore you need Hechsher Kelim, less than 24 hours. There's a famous Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, which we mentioned earlier in the Masechta. Right over here, Rashi says that Bas Yoyma means Shabishu Ba'avikam Hayoyim, Aval Bishu Ba'esmoil, Rashi says you don't need 24 hours. It's enough. Linas Lila. Tosfos agrees. Tosfos brings in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. The Linas Lila Poigemes. You don't need 24 hours. Even overnight, it's already a nice time of gum. That's what it means by Bas Yoyma. The Re in Tosfos disagrees and says you need Meis Leis 24 hours. And that's how we paskin like the Re 24 hours. However, the shita of Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, that Linus Laila is Pagemis, is used as a sniff when you have other heterim, and the Keli was more than overnight, so together with other sniffim, it could be used as a sniff lahater. But Me'ikara din we paskin, that Nois Tam V'gam is only when it's more than 24 hours.